Blog Talk Radio.
Decided to join us for another episode of Living by Design. You want to live by your design, not someone else's. So welcome to the show. We have a great show on tap for you. And I have a special announcement. I am going to be kicking off the Lies, Love, and Life workshop tour in Indianapolis, Indiana, on September the 29th. So go to my website, get the details. It's all there. This is something you absolutely do not want to miss. It is based off my extremely popular book that's only been out for 2 weeks, Lies, Love, and Life, How to Uncover and Discover the Real You. And it's based on the premise of the lies that we tell ourselves all the time. We speak better to other people than we speak to ourselves, and that's what we're going to talk about in the workshop, and it's going to be an amazing event. If you get caught up in these common self-lies, I'm too old, I will never get out of debt, today is going to be a miserable day, my luck is bad, I will never find true love, and on and on and on. So if you get caught up in that self-defeating, self-sabotaging trap, then you want to attend this workshop. So go to my website at www.chollowayhill.com to get the details and sign up now because space is limited and the spaces are going fast. So we are so excited to have a wonderful guest on our show this evening, Mr. Howard Partridge, and I absolutely cannot wait to bring him on the line. I am holding his book in my hand entitled Seven Secrets of a Phenomenal Life, and he has an acronym for LIFE, and I will let him tell us about that. So I am going to bring Howard on the line and see if he is ready to join us here for this wonderful discussion we're getting ready to have. Hello, Howard, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hi, Kathy, I'm here. How are you?
I am phenomenal. How are you?
Good. You got the right word working there. You are phenomenal, and that is true. Yes.
Absolutely, and so are you. So are you. I absolutely love this book.
Awesome.
I've already read it once, and I'm going through it again.
Great. Wonderful.
Yes. Yes. It is amazing, amazing. So let's just start right off the bat with you giving my listeners your website, or where can the listeners get this amazing book?
Well, they can go to Secrets of a Phenomenal Life, Secrets of a Phenomenal Life, or, of course, they can always just Google Howard Partridge, and they'll find it, Howard Partridge, P-A-R-T-R-I-D-G-E, howardpartridge.com. But the actual book site is Secrets of a Phenomenal Life. In fact, they can download the first chapter for free.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. Well, if they download that first chapter, they'll buy the book. So
Yeah. Thank
you so much for that. Now, I know there are so many tidbits and secrets in this book. So, but first, what I'd like to start off, Howard, if you don't mind, I know your story is amazing, and I know a lot of people get caught up in the woe is me, and, you know, you heard me talk about, you know, my book, Lies, Love, and Life.
Mm-hmm.
And people get caught up in, you know, their own self-sabotaging lies, and they talk to themselves. We all talk to ourselves. We have all that self-talk going on in our heads all the time.
Yes.
and we talk ourselves right out of success. So I just want you, because a lot of times people believe that my guests, they always have had a silver spoon in their mouth and all these types of things. So please talk about your humble beginnings.
Well, you bet. I'm originally from L.A., Lower Alabama. And I actually grew up very poor on welfare in Alabama, in Mobile, Alabama. There were seven kids crammed in a little 600-square-foot shack, and the roof on this house was so bad that every time it rained, we had to get out all the pots and pans to catch the leaks. In fact, my mother actually fed us on $100 a month from the welfare department. I don't know how she did that, seven kids. And I still remember getting Christmas presents from the social workers.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's
amazing.
How I grew up.
Amazing, amazing. And yet you went on to, and just continue the story. So how did you absolutely just get out of that environment, and even though you did not let your environment control you, you controlled your own destiny, how did you actually move out of that mindset of growing up that way?
Well, I at 18 years old, I got kicked out of the house, and I went to live with my real dad. I got in a fight with my stepdad, and at 18 years old, I had hair down to my shoulders, rebellious teenager, which you, I'm sure, read about in the book. And I went to live with my real dad, who I'd only met twice in my life. He left when I was a year old, and I'd only met him twice, very briefly, but he was very successful. And I went to live with him. I didn't even know if he would take me in or not. And he had a new wife, and they had she had a son. So I arrived in Houston, Texas, on this Greyhound bus, not knowing even if I would have a place to live, with 25 cents in my pocket. And I became a waiter, and I worked as a waiter, making enough money just to really pay the rent. And really didn't have any money to speak of. And at that time, I wouldn't say that I was highly successful. I mean, I've always kind of, you know, been a good employee and that kind of thing, but I always wanted to have my own business, but I didn't have any money. So then I met my wife, Denise Conjet Antoinette Pinella. Now, that's Italian, from New Jersey. And we go out to New Jersey to get married, and there I was 23 at the time, and there was a friend of the family who was tooling around a little red Mercedes convertible, same age as me at the time. I have no money. He has a Mercedes convertible. I want to know what this guy does. I want to know if it's legal. Well, found out that he was a small business owner. And when you marry an Italian family, you don't get dishes and wedding presents. You get cash. So we got $3,000 cash for our wedding money, and when I got back to Houston, I spent that money starting my first business out of the trunk of my car, and I learned, you know, how to build a business the hard way, and over time, studying Zig Ziglar and Michael Gerber and John Maxwell and all these guys, these guys that do teach us how to think about success, getting around successful people, I ended up turning that into a multi-million dollar enterprise, and now I travel the world teaching small business owners how to become more successful. And the thing is that I went from poverty pretty much to a regular employee to starting a business and to learning the ways to think about yourself, the ways to think about your business, and these secrets of a phenomenal life. And today I work with the Zig Ziglar organization. Zig Ziglar is the number one motivational speaker in the world.
And you better believe it. I've actually interviewed him on my show, yes.
Oh, have you? Yeah, and it's just phenomenal. I mean, just living the American dream today, simply because I decided to think differently about myself, and I decided to think differently about what I can do and what I can't do.
Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. Now, that, in my opinion, and I'm sure you will agree with me, that if you can just change the way you think, change the way you believe, change your thoughts, I really think a lot of people believe that this is just something that, you know, all the motivational speakers say, and it's just, you know, something that is contrived or just put together, and it's just something. But this is really a fact. You've done it. I've done it. And that's one of the reasons, Howard, I wanted to start out by asking you to talk about your humble beginnings, because it's not about coming into a ton of money. It's not about things working out so easily and everything just lines up, because we have obstacles. We've overcome obstacles. We don't allow the things that get in our path to knock us off, to keep us down. I mean, we all have things that throw us off course, but we have to be committed to staying the course and making sure that we allow our strength inside, because that's where it comes from, inside, to push us to the phenomenal life that we deserve.
Well, that's right. There's always going to be problems in life. There's always going to be challenges, and there are plenty of people that, you know, were worse off than me, had more challenges than I had that have been successful. And, you know, what I talk about in my book is, I think the premise, the place to start, is what you really think about yourself. Now, we talked about Zig Ziglar a little bit, and when I was growing my business, I went to this little networking group, and everybody had what Zig calls stinking thinking, need a checkup from the neck up, you know. And they were complaining about the economy, complaining about their, you know, the prices that they were able to get and their customers and all that. And I come in with a positive attitude. I'm wearing a jacket and a tie, and these guys aren't dressed for success. And they literally laughed at me, and they said, "Who do you think you are, Zig Ziglar or somebody?" And I didn't know Zig at the time. And I did take that as a compliment. But one of the biggest things that I learned is that the way that you see yourself is going to have a direct impact on what you actually do. So when you accept the truth, when you accept the fact that you are a phenomenal product created to do phenomenal things in life and to have a phenomenal life, and the way that I can prove it is this. Now, most people in America believe in God, all right?
Right.
So
right.
We start with, and Zig used to say this all the time, God don't make no junk. So let me ask you a question. When you look at the seven areas of life and you look at your life, what area did God design you to be mediocre in?
None.
Right. So we somehow think that, well, in order to be successful in business, for example, I've got to sell my soul. I've got to sacrifice my family. It's not true. What area are we supposed to struggle in? Yes, we need to sacrifice. Yes, we need to work hard. But what area am I supposed to do badly in? And the fact is that the answer is just exactly what you said, none. So
right.
We first
have... Now there will be areas where you will struggle.
Yes.
But failure is not final. It's feedback.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's right. Failure is an event. It's not a person. So when
right.
you begin to look at yourself that you were created for success, you were created to have a wonderful life, to have a phenomenal life, when
right.
you accept that, when you accept that you have within you the same abilities that anybody else has, and you understand that you were created to be a phenomenal product, then everything changes. But
right.
as long as you have the viewpoint of yourself that I can't do this or I can't do that or, oh, that's not me, that's just for the lucky people, that's just for the rich people, as long
right.
as you have that belief about yourself, you will not do the things that you need to do to be successful. So Zig calls it be, do, and have. So if you
right.
want to have something different, you have to do something different, but we won't consistently do things differently than how we see ourselves, because after all, who do we think we are?
That's right. That is absolutely right. And I tell you, that aligns so very well with the workshop that I'm putting together, because you're right. You have to think about who you think you are, because if you believe that you are just someone who is stuck in a situation and my day is going to be miserable and I can't get any better because I'm too old and I can't change because, you know, I'm just too old to change. Because I always ask people when they say that, I'm too old to go back to school. Okay, well, how old are you currently? Well, I'm 50 years old. Okay, in 4 years, how old will you be? Well, I'll be 54. Okay, so you could either be 54 with no college education, or you can be 54 with the college education. Either way, you're going to still be 54.
Right. That's right.
So I've never understood why people say, I'm too old to do this or that, when you're going to age anyway, and you're going to reach that age if you're, you know, blessed enough to get to that age and, you know, you don't get called home. So if you get to that age, why not get to that age with accomplishing your goal?
Exactly.
It's like wasted time. I mean, you've talked yourself right out of having a phenomenal life, as you say.
Right.
You talked yourself right out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what I teach people to do is take that wheel of life that's in the book. It has the seven areas of life. And
I like that.
Yeah, and what you want to do is you want to think about those seven areas and how your life is right now compared to what you want it to be, all right? And we want to be.
And if you don't mind, Howard, yeah. I don't want to reveal too much of the book, but I'm just going to go ahead and say the seven areas that you list in your book.
Sure, that's fine. Yeah.
The seven areas that he's referring to is personal, family, career, physical, mental, spiritual, and financial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are all the areas that we absolutely want to be successful in. So, yes, go ahead, Howard. Continue.
You bet. So everybody wants to be phenomenally successful in all those areas, okay? The fact is that, you know, let's think about spiritual. We all want to be better people. Family, we all want to have better family relationships. Now, we got to understand that our family relationships, we can't change anyone else, but how many of us know that if we are willing to change, that at least the door is open for that other person to change, that at least I'm being the person that I need to be? When we think about our personal life, our lifestyle, we think about financial. I just did a workshop here in Atlanta and just got done it a little while ago, and I asked my audience, these are small business owners, I always ask them, have you decided how much money you're going to make in the next year? And they always look at me like, what do you mean? You decide, this is my goal. This is how much I'm going to make. So that financial spoke on the wheel of life is very important. Physical, how much am I going to weigh? What kind of physical shape am I going to be in? Am I going to be a smoker or a non-smoker? Am I going to be a drinker or a non-drinker? And so I believe that the most important thing is to establish a vision for your life in all seven of those areas. Now, we've got to believe that we can become that person, and I think that the best way to do that is to read about people who have already been successful. Because if you read books like your book, if you read books like my book, if you read stuff from Zig Ziglar, if you begin to get around people and learn from people who have been successful, who have maybe been worse off than we even were, then you begin to see that, yes, it can be different. And, yes, it is up to me to believe that I can. And once you begin to believe that you can, then you'll start going after that vision even more. And every step that you take, you get a little bit more confidence. Every goal that you reach, you get a little bit more confidence, and then you begin to do things that you never dreamed that you could do. You
Absolutely.
Keep doing the right things the right way time and time again. Yes, you're going to have failures. You're going to try this, it didn't work. You're going to set a goal, you don't make it there. But if you keep doing that year after year, then you're going to look back and you're going to say, wow, I'm a completely different person. I've got a completely different life than I had before. And so the key is you've got to have, every day when you wake up, you've got to have a compelling, inspirational vision of everything that you want to be, do, and have. If you don't have that, you can't hit a target that you can't see. And if you put that out there and you don't believe that you can, then you need to begin to learn from other people who already have, so that you know that what one man can do, another can do. What one woman can do, another can do.
Yeah, that is absolutely amazing advice. I recently read a book by Tony Robbins, and believe it or not, I had never read any of Tony Robbins' books. I don't know how it escaped me, because I know he's, you know, one of the top motivational speakers and trainers of all times, but I was very surprised, and this is just me being open and vulnerable right now, because I was very surprised to read that he doesn't have any education higher than a high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people, and the only reason I'm saying this is because I want people to understand that you don't have to have a master's and a PhD and all of these big, gigantic credentials to make sure that you are committed to your goal. Whatever it is you want in life, you can have it. You just have to have the commitment. And actually, what Tony said in his book was even beyond a commitment, a conviction. A conviction means that, you know, you're going to have it no matter what. No one can turn you around. This is just etched inside you. It's the core of who you are. And it has to be this way. So you don't have to get stuck on the educational aspect of it. If you don't have education and you want to go back and get your education, that's fine. But it's not a prerequisite. It's not. Your commitment and your vision, like you said, Howard, your vision, your commitment, that's what's going to get you through. That's what's going to make you successful.
Absolutely. You know, I think about Helen Keller. When we talk about vision, you know, one of Helen Keller's famous quotes was, and for those younger folks that may not know who Helen Keller was, she was deaf, dumb, and blind. And she became an American legend. She became a speaker, an author, and did way beyond what she could have ever imagined. And she was asked once, you know, Helen, can you think of anything worse than being blind? And she said, yes, I can. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. And
wow, that's powerful.
Isn't that heavy? I mean, wow. And so the thing is, you've got to develop a vision for your life. You've got to stop thinking, I can't, and you got to start thinking, okay, well, if one person can do this, I can do it. And I take that from this movie called The Edge. I talk about this in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Hopkins and Alec Baldwin, they were stranded out in the Alaskan wilderness. You know, it's cold, they're freezing, there's no food, they've been chased by a man-eating bear, and one of the guys has already been eaten by the bear, you know. And
mm-hmm.
even though it was a movie, the point was so well made that one of the guys had read books on how people had survived the Alaskan wilderness. The other had not read those books and was convinced that they were going to die in the wilderness. And Anthony Hopkins, his character, would make Alec Baldwin repeat over and over, what one man can do, another can do. What one man can do, another can do. What Zig Ziglar has done, another can do. What I've done, another can do. What you've done, another can do. What Tony Robbins has done, another can do. So when you think about, and how do we know that? We read books about people who have overcome. We think about people like Helen Keller. What one man can do, another can do. What one woman can do, another can do. After all, what's the difference? They didn't have anything more than what we have. You know,
that's
they
right.
didn't have any more than what you have.
That's right.
Today in America, let me just, if we're talking about mostly a U.S. audience here, Here we are in the richest country on earth, the freest country on earth, and the only reason, the land of opportunity, the only reason that we're not more successful is right between our own two ears.
That's right. Howard, let me ask you, if you had to give just one critical, crucial piece of advice to small business owners who say they want to be successful, they want their businesses to thrive, and they want to you know, have all these goals, accomplishments, and everything that they have put into their vision, if you had one critical piece of advice to give them, what would that be?
Well, if they have goals, and what I've found is that most of them don't really clearly have defined goals. They don't know why they're in business for themselves. And so what I say is the one and only reason that your business exists is to help you achieve your life goals. It's a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. And so that goes right back to that vision. And the reason that we don't have a vision is because we don't know who we are.
You're saying know your why.
You got to know
your why.
Yeah, and you got to know who you are, all right?
Yeah.
You are a phenomenal product created for a specific purpose on this earth. You are not created to not be successful. You are not created. You may have been put in a position to struggle. You know, if I think about, you know, Martin Luther King, or I think about, you know, Mother Teresa, or I think about Jesus, I think about, you know,
Rosa
people.
Rosa Parks.
What's that? Yes. I think about people who struggle, but there was a purpose, there was a gift and a call on their life. And so they were phenomenally successful. So we've got to understand what we mean by phenomenal success. My definition of success is understanding why you're on this earth, who you are, and what it is you're supposed to do. So if I...
And carry it out
to fulfill the calling that you've been given. So who are you? What is it that you're supposed to do? And then once you know that, the number one reason that small businesses don't grow is what I call FTI. Failure to implement. You know what to do, you know why, how to do it, you just don't do it. And the reason you don't do it is because you don't have that big why, like you talked about. You don't have that vision in front of you. You don't know who you are, what you're supposed to do, why you're supposed to do it. When you get that, when you get your vision for your life, it doesn't matter if you have a business, if you have a ministry, if you have a crusade, a calling. It doesn't matter what you do, because anything that you do is just simply the vehicle to help you accomplish that call in your life.
Yes, and I'm just going to add one piece to that, because we're coming up on our last 60 seconds of the show, and I knew this was going to be a phenomenal interview and go fast. But I'm going to urge you, please, go back and listen to the archive of this show, because everything Howard said is absolutely correct. He's phenomenal, and I understand why he titled his book this way. But please do not chase money. Please do not let the money be your why, because it's going to get you tripped up.
Right.
If you focus on who you are and why you were placed on this earth, what is your calling, what are you supposed to be doing, everything else will line up. Everything else will work out exactly the way it's supposed to. So we are coming up on our last 60 seconds, Howard. So in about 20 seconds, can you give us some closing powerful remarks?
You bet. Let me speak to this issue of money, because most people think that money is success, and it's not. So in my book, I have a chapter on how to make phenomenal money. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the secret. How much money should you have? You need to know that. And the fact is that you need to have the amount of money that's required to fulfill your vision in life. So here we go back to the vision. Who am I? What is it that I'm supposed to accomplish? What am I supposed to call? What's my calling? And what's my purpose in life? Understand that you are a phenomenal product. You are. Say that to yourself right now. I am a phenomenal product. And by the way, the last thing is treat everyone else like they're phenomenal as well, because they are. You can have everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what it is that they want.
Absolutely. So we are going to sign off, and I want you to keep those words in your head. I am phenomenal. And also, I want you to make sure that you I love quotes, and I just want to end with a quote that it just really always resonates with me, and that's from Henry Ford, said it best when he said, whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you're right. So it's all in whether or not you're committed, because when you're committed to a goal, you'll do whatever it takes. But when you're interested in a goal, you'll do what's convenient. So if you really want to have that phenomenal life, you will do whatever it takes. Thank you so much, Howard. You have been an amazing guest. Please visit Howard's website, pick up his book, and we will be signing off for now. We will see you same time next week here on the Living by Design Show. Good evening, everyone.